Consider the words of Nicodemus unto the Christ, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, John 3 and verse 2. Well, how thankful we are for that. So let's study about Jesus, the divine teacher, today from the International Gospel Hour. Stay with us.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand.
Hi, this is Jay Webb for International Gospel Hour. Welcome to our broadcast today. For over 90 years, Churches of Christ have proclaimed God's Word through our broadcasts. Just ahead is another Bible-based lesson with Jeff Archie of International Gospel Hour. Let's begin.
Well, thank you to our Jay Webb and greetings to all of you. It's great having you with us today for our weekly broadcast from the International Gospel Hour. We've been on the air, or online, if you will, since 1934, and we will press onward proclaiming the riches of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, today, well, let's talk about Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Lamb of God, the Master and Messiah, the Son of Man. Yes, unlike any other, this teacher came from God. And unlike any other teacher that we note in the words of those that heard him on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29, that when he had finished those sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So he once again acknowledged the admittance of one Nicodemus who said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Let's think about that today. I want to begin by reading the first 21 verses of the Gospel of John, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Dear friends, we're going to continue our study from John 3 in just a moment. But first, a few words from our J. Webb.
Our website is internationalgospelhour.com. That's internationalgospelhour.com. Check out our website and see all that's available. We have a number of biblical resources. You can also listen to our other broadcasts, view our TV program, request our newsletter, and ask for our Bible study by mail, and so much more. And get this, it's all free at internationalgospelhour.com.
Friends, from our text of John 3, let's look at Nicodemus, who drew a perfect conclusion about the Christ. You see, Nicodemus was of the Pharisees, and they were a group of people whom Jesus had many confrontations, as we would note in Matthew the 23rd chapter, as their discussion went back and forth and Jesus simply called them hypocrites because of the way they acted. But it doesn't seem that Nicodemus was part of that faction of Pharisees. He seems to be quite sincere and, as a ruler of the Jews, well, no question, he was in high authority, he was well respected, and Jesus even referred to him back in verse 10 as a teacher of Israel. And Nicodemus was a man of wisdom, and he was also one who sincerely knew the law, as we note from John 7, verses 50 through 51. The scripture says, Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, the council, said to them, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?" And then we find later here in the Gospel of John that Nicodemus was a man of compassion, and along with Joseph of Arimathea, we see him asking for the body of Jesus to prepare and to bury him. John 19:38-42. You know, friends, when I think about Nicodemus as a Pharisee and how a Pharisee would be in direct opposition to Jesus and his discussion, it's of interest to see that Nicodemus was a man of compassion. And although there may have been disagreement, if you will, with Nicodemus and even the fellow Pharisees, or as we see him questioning the Christ, yet as a man of compassion and the respect that he showed to Jesus stands forth. You know, friends, today in this old country, in this old world, would we do well that when we would have a disagreement that we could at least be civil and press onward? But you know, Jesus had a great effect on Nicodemus. Jesus, as we would call him, the divine teacher. He had such an impact on Nicodemus to make such a change in his life, to see how Nicodemus responded to the Christ. And the same divine teacher will do the same for us today. Now, as we talk about Jesus as the divine teacher, he is the one who, as Nicodemus said, came from God, and therefore he is both human and divine, and we see his teaching that's just as applicable today as it would have been to Nicodemus. First of all, friends, let's notice from verses 3 and 5 of John 3, the power of the new birth. Nicodemus recognized the power of Jesus Christ, and before Jesus ascended into heaven, in Matthew 28 and verse 18, he said, "All power or all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or the age." You see, Jesus indeed had that power before he ascended into heaven to give the Great Commission to teach, to baptize, to continue to teach those that would believe. To see the kingdom, friends, indeed one must be born again. One must be saved in order to see the kingdom, and for that matter, one is added to the kingdom. How about Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14 that reminds us of those Christians in Colossae who were translated or conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love? He's telling the church there at Colossae, you're already in the kingdom. We understand from Mark 10 and verse 15 that one must humble himself in order to be born again, that one must move away from his own personal positions and to accept the teaching, the divine teaching of the Christ, and to do His will. In Galatians 5:19 through 21, we see the works of the flesh and how they that do or practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So one must avoid worldly living and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And how are we able to do that? Well, because we learn of the grace of God that teaches men how to live. Titus 2:11 through 13. Jesus also explained to Nicodemus how to enter God's family, John 3:3 through 5. And this new birth is distinctly different than the physical birth, as we note in verses 4 and 5. One is to be born of water and of the Spirit. When we see to be born of water, friends, we have to understand that baptism in water does play a part in our salvation. I realize that many of you, our listeners, would graciously disagree, and there may be broadcast on before or after me that may say otherwise. But friends, we are interested in what the Bible says, and not necessarily what others may believe. Let our faith be according to the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. In Acts 2 and verse 38, the Bible tells us that they on the day of Pentecost were told when they were pricked in their hearts by the preaching of the gospel in verse 37, and asked men and brethren, what shall we do? They needed to make a decision to change, and Peter said, and based upon the Great Commission text of Luke 24:44 through 47, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In verse 41 of Acts 2, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Friends, did you note that baptism was done that same day? It wasn't delayed. It wasn't put together as a baptism Sunday. It wasn't booked ahead where a mass of people would come and be immersed. That same day, they obeyed the gospel. They were added to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47, just like the Colossians were added to the church and also added to the kingdom. I think of Acts chapter 8 to win the simple teaching of the eunuch. When he learned about Jesus and they were on the way in the chariot, they came to a certain body of water. And he asked, what hinders me from being baptized? He made the confession of faith and was baptized right then. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, we read of the like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. To be born of the Spirit likewise means to obey the gospel. And friends, would not we be concerned? And if there are some that would say, the water is the physical birth and the Spirit is the spiritual birth. Well, friends, we've tried to explain there is a distinct difference. And the distinct difference is we're not talking of a physical birth. We're talking of the spiritual birth because Jesus did. And to be born of the Spirit, well, would that not guide us through the Word of God, which is Spirit, the words that are Spirit and that are truth, John 6, 66 through 69, and how the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, Ephesians 6, verses 15 through 18. And so to be born of the Spirit likewise means to obey the gospel of Christ. And we must all be born again through baptism in order to enter into the kingdom. For Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7 teaches of how we are baptized into Christ, an immersion. And we're baptized into Christ and we're raised to walk in a newness of life. Newness of life is not there until one is baptized. May we think on these things and study them further, dear friends. But from verse 14 of John 3, let's note the power of the crucifixion. Jesus, in teaching Nicodemus, that Pharisee who was well familiar with Moses and the serpent in the wilderness, he said, "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Jesus references this account that Nicodemus again would know very well from Numbers 21, and how Moses intercedes on behalf of the unfaithful Israelites and lifts up a bronze serpent that God commanded him to do, commanded him to fashion, and said, "Anyone who looks upon it will be saved from the bite of the fiery serpent." Well, friends, we simply look to the cross where Jesus was lifted up, knowing by faith that in that act Jesus carried our sins with him there, and now he intercedes for us who are obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Friends, do you see the great power of the divine teacher? And yet with the teaching of Jesus, and although he prayed for unity in John the 17th chapter, we are in a world today, friends, that is splintered, divided. Even those within the religious world themselves have strong disagreements. Such should not be the case. We here at International Gospel Hour want to aim us back to the Word of God, to give us some things to think on therein. I want to pause here as our J. Webb has a very special gift for you. And a quick reminder, we will not ask for your money here on our broadcast from the International Gospel Hour. Everything that we offer and will share with you is free. Here's our J. Webb with a free booklet that we think will be of help to you in your search and your study of Scripture.
In a world of division and even confusion in the religious world, friends, please know this. The Bible is always right. The free booklet, Something is Wrong, but the Bible is Right, is available from International Gospel Hour. Please call us toll-free at 855-444-6988 and leave your name, your address, and just say Bible Tract. That's it. You may also go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com, click on the Contact tab, and leave us the same information, name, address, and type Bible Tract in the message box. We will get it to you right away.
And now, friends, from verse 16, the power of faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is called by many the golden text of the Bible, and it is simply beautiful. Let us notice a couple of things here from this text. First of all, how God gave the Christ and gave him willingly. God knew that Jesus would be the answer for our sins. And although we were sinners, enemies, and ungodly, he loved the world and sent his Son. We note that from Romans 5, verses 6 through 10. But God gave the Christ, and we therefore believe in God. The teaching of Jesus from John 14 and verse 9. And as God gave the Christ, we therefore will believe in his sacrifice. In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, he reminds the church there of their redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. And how in Hebrews 10, 1 through 4, to look at the superiority of the sacrifice of Jesus once for all and over all, of how the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, but the blood of Jesus Christ, and we believe in his sacrifice for us. And as God gave the Christ, we therefore believe that he is the Savior of the world, the declaration of John in 1 John 4 and verse 14. And as God gave the Christ, we therefore believe in his resurrection, as Jesus taught that he was the resurrection and the life, or that rather that he is, John 11, 25. And oh, how Paul talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, calling that the gospel message, the good news, and commended those Corinthians for their obedience to the gospel, how they were saved, how they stood within, and what a blessing to read and to embrace such today. Here's a second lesson that we learn. Not only God gave the Christ willingly, but to see that we should believe in Jesus Christ. Dear friends, please do not let the statement I'm about to make shock you, but we're not saved by faith alone. You see, a lot of people believe in Christ, but they fail to follow him. Why, James 2:19 teaches how the devils believe, yet they tremble. We're not going to affirm that a devil or a demon is saved. And I think of those in John 12, verses 42 and 43, who believed on him, but they failed and did not confess him, lest they be cast out of the synagogue. When you and I look in such passages as Hebrews 11, and even throughout the Bible, true biblical faith, true godly faith, is a faith that moves us toward obedience. Let's think about believing in Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to believe in his teaching, would I not? And when Jesus in Matthew 15 and verse 10 reminds them to hear and understand, I need to grasp that I need to hear, I need to listen at the command of Christ. In John 8:24, Jesus said, "Nay, I tell you, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins." Jesus there commands us to believe in him, just like in John 3 and verse 16. And when I believe in him, then I want a faith that is an obedient faith, and that faith will move me to repentance that Jesus commanded in Luke 13 and verse 3, and commanded to be preached as part of his commission, the gospel, to charge and to challenge those to respond, Luke 24, 44 through 47. Repentance is commanded because the Christ said so. What about Matthew 10:32, when Jesus said, "He that confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father in heaven"? Should I not confess the Christ? Should I not confess my faith in Christ? Absolutely. Now, friends, these are all things that Jesus has stated, and if we believe in Him, we're going to believe them and obey them, correct? Well, friends, I've got one more for you. What about baptism? Did not Jesus command us to be baptized? We'll allow Mark 16:16 to answer that. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned." And we even noted that from John 3:18. "He who does not believe is condemned already." But Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Friends, you can't get any clearer than that. Now, we'll agree on hearing, we'll agree on believing, we'll agree on repentance, we'll agree on confession. Oh yes, Jesus taught that. Well, Jesus also taught Mark 16:16. You know, I was amazed. I saw a post that a dear brother in Christ, he simply read Mark 16:15-16, just simply read it. And the comments after that said, "Yes, but." Friends, there is no "yes, but" when Jesus has declared it. And we even see that consistent with Peter's teaching of baptism in Acts 2:38, Philip teaching Jesus Christ to the eunuch and baptized him in Acts 8. And friends, that is consistent in the words of Jesus to the church at Smyrna in Revelation 2:10, the latter part of that verse, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life." So we are to be faithful to the Lord in whom we believe. Friends, maybe we have prompted you to think about your salvation. Maybe you were taught or you heard things differently. Well, we want to help you in your search of Scripture. And we always have available from our broadcast tools of study. Here is our J-Web to tell you how you can receive by mail our longtime Bible course by mail.
Our longtime free Bible study course by mail is always available. Have you tried it yet? Just call us toll free at 855-444-6988. And leave your name, address, and just say, "Home Study." That's it. You may also go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com, click on the Contact tab, and leave us the same information, name, address, and type "Home Study" in the message box. Study the Bible at your own pace. Again, it's free from your friends here at International Gospel Hour.
Well, friends, as we bring our study to the close, we see the power of the new birth, the power of the crucifixion, the power of faith, all taught from John 3. But John 3:20-21, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Oh, friends, today we want you to come to the light. We want you to walk in truth, for the truth will make us free, John 8:32. Will you do evil or will you do truth? Which one will you choose today? May our studies and material that we will share with you for further study help you toward the end of your obedience to Jesus, the divine teacher. And friends, we'll continue our studies together at another time. But for now, thank you for joining me today on the International Gospel Hour broadcast. I'm Jeff Archie. Honored you've been with me today. And friends, keep listening.
God be with you till we meet
. Thank you for listening to our broadcast today, and we hope you continue onward with your search and study of God's Word. Please join us next time and visit our website at internationalgospelhour.com.